Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So Peter Ricciuti joins us now, professor of finance at Tulane, to talk a little bit about tariffs and so forth. How are you doing, Doctor? Is it Dr. Ricciuti or not?
No, it's Peter will be good.
Okay, look, Peter Ricciuti, our friend, professor of finance at Tulane, prestigious A.B. Freeman School of Business. So, Peter, when it comes to what the president just said about foreign leaders coming in, and, well, let me play this bite while we're at it, and I'll get that out of the way. So that's what the president had to say, and I guess the question goes to, rhetoric aside, how did American manufacturing get to where it is today, and how did American the country lose jobs overseas?
Oh, I mean, I guess a couple of things there is, first of all, we're manufacturing more than we ever have in the United States. What we're doing it with fewer people, and that's really the issue, and that's just productivity. You're going to see, for instance, on the productivity side, that's going to hurt jobs. It's going to probably improve the country. But all the technology advancements have been that issue. It really has been it's been more about productivity. And you know, one of the things the president talks about, you know, outside of all the rhetoric, is that we have this imbalance of trade with these other countries. The imbalance of trade is means absolutely nothing. It's what it means is that when you have an imbalance of trade, it simply means that your people can afford to buy more of their stuff than they can afford to buy of your stuff. And that, you know, that's really how it all shakes out.
Let me play one more soundbite from the president here, if I can.
Sure.
A little bit more of what he had to say. And I wanted to play that because there are so many things involved in there. First of all, is it that simple? Can it get any simpler than that? And secondly, when it comes to taxpayers being ripped off, I don't quite understand what he means by that. Because a lot of economists I've spoken to have said that this is, in essence, the tariff is a tax that people are going to wind up paying it because the money goes to the Treasury. And if you look at the history of tariffs going back to McKinley, it was originally a fundraising thing for the Treasury, not a way to increase American production. Peter, the floor is yours on all of that.
Well, when you look at it, I don't understand why they're calling it reciprocal. What we have now is a pretty good situation. You know, the president inherited a very good economy. We had inflation coming from 9% to 3%. We had record stock market. We had record employment. So I don't know where that's really coming from. One of the things that you know is going to happen is these other countries are going to fight back, and they're going to raise the tariffs you know, that are on the United States. And so where does this end? You know, do we just keep going until we have a worldwide recession? I don't know. I think we've got about an 80% chance of having a recession here in the U.S. And I think I haven't seen it this morning, but the market's down about 1,000 points. The market's a pretty good indicator of what investors think is going to go on in the future. One of the big problems people have is they don't really know what to do now. I think that this week will be very interesting because people for the first time will open up their 401k statements and realize it's become a 201k. We've lost about 12% on the market. I feel bad for the people who were either retired or very close to announcing their retirement because, you know, this is really going to shake some things up. But the American consumer is going to pay for it. The rest of it is just pure nonsense. And you look at things, Tommy, like there's a bunch of industries, but what I think of mainly is the clothing industry. You know, we haven't paid since we started globalization. We haven't really seen much of an increase in the price of clothing. And in fact, it's dropped dramatically. And, you know, what happens when it goes up? That's a real real point in the U.S. right now. So I don't get it. I don't think you could find an economist that gets it either. And it was done. You look at it, the different percentages to different countries. I mean, nobody understands how those were all calculated. I think what you need is you need to just stop this daily change. The markets can't stand uncertainty. You know, it's how do you make a decision when you don't know? You wake up at 7 in the morning and there's something else staring you in the face. So now, in light of that, I think investors are the tendency right now is to say, I'm going to get out of the market. I'm going to sell my stocks. And then when things drop, I'll buy more of it. And that has never, ever, ever worked. And so I think people are best off just riding this out. You know, the best time to buy stocks is when things are worst. And so I'm not saying this is the bottom, but, you know, most people want to buy stocks when the economy's doing well. And the truth is people do better when they invest when there's some uncertainty out there.
Buying opportunities, I feel somewhat guilty because I've been very candid about this on the air. My financial guy told me months ago, it might not be a bad idea to take some money out of the market, and I did, and put it in a safer vessel so I know I can pay my house off, and I'm not close to it.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Retirement or anything, but in case tariffs wreck the economy. So he kind of forecast that, as a lot of people did. Somebody texted in and said, you're having a lot of experts on the show explaining why the tariffs are bad. I would like to hear the other side of it with some experts explaining the benefits. I can't say that I'm against the tariffs until I learn more about them. You touched on this just now, Peter, and I tried to text this person back, and technically I can't do it. But the reason is we can't find anybody that says this is going to be a good thing.
Now, I will tell, you know, one thing you've got to give the president credit for, though, is he has telegraphed this very, very well. I mean, even when he was running for president, he said this is what he was going to do. And so you've got to be certainly being honest about it. I think that's for sure. And you're going to see if there was nothing said every morning for like 6 months, people would adjust. You've got to remember that businesses, you give them anything and they will adjust to it. Mm-hmm. But if you keep changing the goalpost, businesses are going to be paralyzed. They can't make a decision in this environment. And investors are paralyzed. One thing that surprised me in a big way is I thought the businesses in the U.S. would just kind of take all the earnings they have and put it into buying back their own stock. But that's happened a little bit. But the part I really did not get right at all is they're kind of hoarding the money. So that's kind of – so you make America worse off, and you make the rest of the country, rest of the world worse off. It's going to be a tit for tat. I mean, how can it not be? These people aren't just going to roll over and accept it.
So somebody texts, and then Peter, don't take this personally, okay? Because this goes to the disparity in the audience. Two texts back to back from different numbers. A guest that makes sense. Then another one says your guest is absolutely clueless on tariffs. Now, it takes some cojones to say a guy like Peter Ricciuti is clueless on tariffs and for you to think, whoever texted this in, that you know more. But when we come back, Peter, somebody texted in and said, explain to me why the president's wrong. Other countries tariff us, so why can't we tariff them? And just talk about the balance of tariffs, if you will, perhaps. Peter Ricciuti, our guest, professor of finance at Tulane, 722, talking tariffs, traffic now, WWL. 727, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Peter Ricciuti, professor of finance at Tulane, about tariffs and what the president had to say yesterday. Somebody texted in and said about tariffs, and goes to the question I asked you before about somebody wanting to know again and again, why is it okay for other countries to place tariffs on American goods, but it's not okay for America to reciprocate? That's what the listener wants to know, Peter.
Well, these countries haven't placed tariffs against the United States. They've just become more efficient, better countries in economics. I mean, some of them, of course, have lower labor rates. Some of them are propped up a little bit by the countries themselves. But it's not 1950. It's not where we're the big economic powerhouse. We are. We're the biggest. But it's not as if nobody else exists. And so I don't. And there were no tariffs, so this is going to be the first salvo, and then we're going to raise them. And if you get into a trade war, that doesn't help anyone. Yet tariffs haven't ever worked. They are they're prosperity killers, and I think that's how it shakes out.
Professor, one thing that and going back to I was mentioning earlier, after the blockbuster trade that brought me to WWL from the oldie station after Katrina, I was working at night and I remember talking to a professor about the Pacific Rim, and I remember specifically asking him, so if somebody in Vietnam or in the Pacific Rim is willing to work for $2 a day, and I'm just picking a number out of the air. Yeah. And here in the United States, you'd have to pay somebody $30 an hour to have a decent wage and manufacture goods here. How do we ever win that battle? And the answer he gave me was, we never do. We don't. So is that accurate still?
Yeah, I think that's true. As these economies, for instance, China has seen their cost of doing business, whether it's equipment or it's more likely labor prices, go up. And eventually, that's what happens. A country reaches a certain degree of wealth and their costs go up. And so it just kind of it's more of a levelizer than anything else. And they're striving to be level with us. And it's not going to reverse. One thing, though, the fact these low costs and these products coming into the United States, they really are helping keep our prices down. If we look at everything that's made in the Pacific Rim and, throughout Asia, it's keeping our prices down. I don't know what we'll see next, but I think the most important thing is the uncertainty, though. If you keep changing the rules, people will do nothing, and that's what will head you into a global recession. So if things were to stop right now, and those numbers, which I don't quite get, but they just came out, if those numbers were to stay the same, you would little by little get the economy back on. You'd get the markets and the economy back on its feet. But I'm not sure we're going to see that. That's not what we've seen, so far in the administration. So I can't blame businesses for not doing anything. What you get, of course, is if you're not doing anything, you're paralyzed. Your earnings come down, and when your earnings come down, your stock price goes down, and it just kind of feeds on itself right there. But you will see almost immediate reciprocal tariffs coming in from the other side.
Thank you, Professor.
We
got to run. I'm sorry we're out of time. I hope you come back, though, and talk, because this is not going to go away anytime soon. We'll take a break, talk to Keith Hinckley, president of Plaquemines Parish, and Troy Duhon about tolls on the Belchase Bridge and tariffs in the car industry right now. Time for WWL First News.